Across Alaska, a growing outcry for police reform has galvanized many Alaska Natives. A rally in Ketchikan this month attracted hundreds of demonstrators, some carrying signs highlighting the fact that Native Americans are among racial groups most likely to be killed by police. Cody Ayer was shot to death 2.5 years ago by police in Fairbanks. His mother had called 911 that Christmas Eve. She was concerned about her son. He was drunk, distraught, and heading into the snowy darkness with a .22 caliber pistol. He was 20 years old. His sister, Samantha Ayer Harrison, says even people she was close to didn't really know what to say.
I think that after I lost my brother, there were a lot of people that felt really uncomfortable with the subject of officer-related deaths and, you know, police brutality.
Then the sights and sounds of George Floyd's life slipping away at the hands of Minneapolis police shocked the nation's conscience.
And suddenly overnight, it became okay to talk about things that maybe before it wasn't okay to talk about, like police brutality and talking about racism, topics that were tough to discuss.
But she says for many of her friends in Alaska, solidarity extended primarily to people in the lower 48.
You know, they're sharing hashtag George Floyd, like justice for George Floyd. But they don't know the names of like anyone who has been like killed by an officer here in the state of Alaska.
Alaska's relatively small population makes it difficult to meaningfully compare the rate of police killings with other states or prove racial bias. That's because a small sample size can be skewed by just a few cases. The Washington Post built a database tracking fatal police encounters since 2015. In Alaska, 39 people have been killed by police. Of those, at least 9 were Alaska Native. But on the surface, while Alaska Natives only make up about 15% of the population, they're close to a quarter of all police killings in the state. Cody Ayer's killing remains controversial. He was carrying a loaded gun when he was shot, but relatives say he never threatened to harm anyone but himself.
Put the gun down, Cody!
Fairbanks police released an edited 11-minute video compiled from body cam and dash cam footage before 5 officers fired 40 shots in 2 volleys.
That video you were seeing of Cody Ayer down there, it was edited, Mayor, before you even seen it. It was edited.
That's the late social justice activist Frank Turney berating Fairbanks City Council for not investing more in non-lethal weapons for its police department. To date, the family says authorities still haven't released the full video footage taken by police.
There's a lot more to that story, but shoot a man 40 bullets in him? 40 bullets?
State prosecutors cleared the 3 state troopers and 2 Fairbanks police officers that fired their weapons. A family member of another suicidal Alaska Native killed by police in Fairbanks addressed the city council that same evening.
My husband had a gun to his head. Why would they shoot a person who was contemplating suicide?
That man was Kevin McNulty. His death came 15 months after Cody Ayer's. The 2 cases have parallels. Both were Alaska Native men in their 20s. Both were armed and intoxicated and threatening to kill themselves in a public place. A bystander shot footage of the March 31st, 2019 standoff in the McDonald's parking lot.
There's a guy with a gun to his head right there in the green car to the far to the left. Cars are sitting here with their guns drawn out, and they keep on telling him to put the gun down, take it away from his head, and he's screaming no.
His wife, Lisa McNulty, shared the video of his final minutes on social media in late May.
He pointed at his head, he shot up in the air once, and he got shot 13 times.
Oh my God! Oh my God.
She says the outcry over police violence in recent weeks has sparked renewed interest and sympathy for her family. The video has thousands of views. Kevin McNulty left behind 2 young children, and she prefers to think of happier times when they were together, like this moment in 2015 when he sings along to a pop song on the radio. But she said he also struggled with drugs and alcohol. He was in treatment for more than a year, but he kept drinking, and the relationship frayed.
He asked me for a ride, like an hour before, and I was like, "No, I can't do it. I'm sorry, because I was tired of his drinking."
An official report says that during the standoff with officers, he goaded police to kill him, but he also asked them to call a Fairbanks police officer he knew by name, and his wife. he gave officers a phone number to call. The report says the officer he wanted to talk to wasn't on duty at the time. His wife says she didn't get a call until after he was dead.
They should have tried harder.
Until this month, Lisa McNulty hadn't seen the state's report clearing the officers, and she's been asking for it. Records requests with university police, Alaska State Troopers, and Fairbanks Police seeking body cam and dash cam footage and police reports were filed by her attorney months ago. I asked the Department of Law whether the use of deadly force was justified. Little more than an hour later, a 9-page report clearing the officers appeared in my inbox. It says Kevin McNulty's erratic statements, coupled with a loaded gun and close proximity of fast food diners, meant police were justified in shooting him when they did. His family didn't know about that report, even though it came out more than 7 weeks ago. The state says that was an oversight and has since shared its findings with Lisa McNulty.
Well, if that is truly what happened, and then I have no reason to believe it didn't, you know, then it was a failure on the trooper's part.
That's Walt Monaghan. He's a former Anchorage police chief and 2-time commissioner for the Department of Public Safety, which oversees Alaska State Troopers. From patrolman to chief, he's been involved with mental health crises and their aftermath.
You try to isolate and get the individual to calm down, and sometimes it does work. We've done it. I've seen it done in my career. It's just unfortunate.
He says even if a police officer's use of deadly force is justified,
it doesn't replace the tragedy that had taken place. I mean, individuals who are shot or otherwise killed, that you know, they have loved ones, they have friends, they have family that all want answers. And I can't argue with that. I would want them if I were in the situation too.
Measuring something as subjective as racism is difficult. So is ascribing police's use of force to bias. But Lisa McNulty says racism is something she experiences in daily life. She grew up in Shugnak, an Inupiat village on the Kobuk River. But since moving to Fairbanks to complete her university degree, she's often made to feel like an outsider.
When I walk into Walmart, people look at me and sometimes they follow me around the store if I do not look like how they want me to look. For instance, if I don't have on like a full face of makeup or if I don't look professional or the way they want me to look in their eyes, they're going to follow me and they're going to automatically think that I'm a threat.
That's one person's experience. Others may vary. But when it comes to police encounters, researchers have shown consistently that Native Americans, including Alaska Natives, are more likely to be killed by officers than their white peers. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.